Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could come into your presence. For EMP, we pray that you will come and speak to us, God, and help us to worship and pray and spend time with you this morning. Begin our day, God, with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, I had a chance to speak at EMP, and I wanted to kind of start looking at different characters in the Bible. Kind of do a character study. So last week we looked at Barnabas, and today I thought maybe I can start with looking at the character of Peter, and I want to start with this story, the call of Peter, right? The call of Peter, the disciple. There's two more accounts in Matthew and Mark that tell us how Peter was called into the ministry. Matthew and Mark, those two accounts are pretty similar, and you're probably familiar with it. It doesn't tell us much. It's basically a very short summary of what happens in this Luke account. In Matthew and Mark, it says Jesus is walking by the lake, and he sees Peter and Andrew fishing, and he just calls out to them, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And Peter and Andrew leave everything, and they follow him. And then a little bit later, John and James, and Jesus says, "Come follow me," and they leave everything, and they follow Jesus. And I think this Luke text is giving us more detail into what exactly happened. Because I don't know about you, but when I read Matthew and Mark and the account of Jesus calling Peter and Andrew, James and John, I always wonder why, you know? How is it that Peter, all Jesus says is, "Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men," and they leave everything to follow Christ. So I always wondered, like, what's happening? What is happening so that they're able to leave everything and follow? So this Luke account gives us some detail into what happened so that they were able to, willing to, leave everything behind. But even before we get into the Luke account, there is a further backstory to this account, so I want us to go there. So there is something else that happens between Peter and Jesus that leads into this Luke account, okay? So let's go to John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. It was interesting to me when I was preparing. Hopefully it's interesting to you. Because I think a lot of us think Jesus just called Peter and he left everything and followed him. But there is a lot of kind of backstory behind the calling of Peter. John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. So this is the actual first encounter between Peter and Jesus, right? Jesus just doesn't appear to the Sea of Galilee and sees Peter for the first time and says, "Come and follow me." And Peter, seeing Jesus for the first time, has a supernatural, I mean, he maybe did have a supernatural like desire to follow Jesus, but that wasn't the first encounter. This is where Jesus first meets Peter. So Jesus, at this point, has come back from the wilderness of his fasting and his temptation with Satan. And he comes back. He must have come back to the Jordan River area. And John will see him and say, "Well, that's the guy. That's the guy that I've been telling you about." And he says, When he came up out of the water, I saw the dove coming and resting upon him. So John testifies about who Jesus is, but this is after his 40 days of temptation, his 40 days of fasting and temptation. And so John sees Jesus, he testifies, and then the next day, John sees Jesus again, and he's with his disciples, and he looks to Jesus and says, "That's the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God." And two of the disciples that were with John, basically, if they're good disciples of John, this is what they should have done, right? Which is go and follow Jesus. Because John's been saying this whole time, this other guy is coming, and he is really the one that you need to follow. I'm unworthy to even tie and untie his shoelaces. And so the two disciples hear John calling, saying this about Jesus, and they follow Jesus, and Jesus sees them and says, "What do you want? What do you seek?" And they basically say, "Oh, I just want to know where you're staying." And Jesus says, "Come and see." And one of them, we don't know who the other disciple is, but one of them is Andrew, and Andrew is Peter's brother. And so Andrew spends some time with Jesus, and I think he's convinced. Right? Maybe he was convinced because John, the person that he was following, had said, "This is the Lamb of God. This is the Messiah." But now, Andrew is convinced himself because he spent a whole day with him. And so Andrew goes and finds his brother. I was going to say older brother. I'm assuming he's the older brother, Peter, just because Peter was the leader of the disciples. But he finds his brother, Peter, and he brings Peter. If you look at the map, it's very interesting. If you look at the map, from the River Jordan, where the whole baptism happens and where this account is happening, and where Peter lives, which is Capernaum, which is where the Sea of Galilee is, I even Google mapped it to try and see, well, how far is the distance? How did Andrew go and find Peter? And it says it's like a 29-hour walk. So who knows where Peter was? Maybe Peter was halfway down. He was doing something. Or maybe Peter was visiting Andrew. We don't really know. Or maybe Andrew walked 2 days and 3 days up to find Peter, and then he came down with him again. We're not sure, but he finds Peter somehow. And he says, dude, you got to come down and see Jesus. I think we found the Messiah. So Peter comes, he meets Jesus, and Jesus gives him a prophetic word. He says, Simon, because his name is Simon. His name is not Peter at the time. He says, Simon, you are to be called Peter, Cephas, the rock, right? Rock. And so I think it's a prophetic word that he's going to be a pillar of the church. He's going to be this rock for the church, for the early church. And so that happens. If you read on, it says, after this incident, Jesus decides to go to Galilee. So River Jordan is south. Galilee is up here, Sea of Galilee. And so he decides to make the trek up there. That's where his hometown Nazareth is. And in that time, somehow, Peter and Andrew must have gone back to their hometown. So it's very interesting. They meet Jesus. They have this encounter. But they just go back to their old life. So maybe something hadn't really struck them, or they knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but Jesus hadn't given them a specific call yet. So they're like, wow, Jesus, he gave me a prophetic word. He called me the rock. And maybe they're thinking about it, but I don't know what that means. So I'm just going to go back to what I've been doing. And we are fishermen, so we're going to go back to fishing. So they go back up to the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, which is where they used to live, and they're fishing. Okay? And then Jesus goes up to Galilee. He first goes to Cana, which is where the whole wedding story happens. He turns water into wine. And then he goes to Nazareth, because in Nazareth is Luke chapter 4. Right before we get into our chapter, in Nazareth, he opens up the scrolls, and he quotes the famous Isaiah passage, right? The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. So he does all that in Nazareth. And then he actually heals a bunch of people in that time. From Nazareth, he goes up to Capernaum. And in Capernaum is actually where he starts to heal people. Actually, it says in Luke chapter 4 that in Capernaum, he actually went to Simon's house. And this is probably Simon Peter's house. He goes to Simon Peter's house, heals his mother-in-law, who is lying in bed sick. And then after that, all these people come to him because they saw the healing power of Jesus. And so all these people come to him, they crowd him, and he heals all the sick. And then he wants to go around. He doesn't want to stay there. He's like, no, I have to keep going around to the different synagogues preaching. And that's kind of how we come to chapter 5. So in verse 1, if you go back to your text, it says, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him, right? So the crowd is pressing around him because they witness first the reading of the scrolls, and then they witness him healing the sick and setting free the people that were demon-possessed, right? So people are crowding around him, and that's when we get to this story of the Peter, right? So he comes to Lake Gennesaret, which is the same as the Sea of Galilee, just had many different names. Okay, so they're in the Sea of Galilee. He's standing there, and then he sees two boats. I think the crowd is maybe crowding around him, and he wants to teach, but maybe there's just too many people, so he wants to get into a boat. And so I just think it's interesting for us to know, okay, that's what happened. So Simon already knew. So I imagine when there's two boats there, and one belongs to Simon, and when Jesus says to Simon, hey, can you put the boat out a little bit, because I want to go in there, Simon is not like, well, who is this stranger that's coming to me? Why are you asking me for my boat? He already knows. Man, this is Jesus the Messiah. I met him at the River Jordan, and he gave me a prophetic word. Maybe he already had heard about his mother-in-law being healed, right? Who knows? Maybe he was already out fishing, so he hadn't heard, or maybe he was there and he heard the story. It's like, this is Jesus who gave me a prophetic word, who we met to be the Messiah, and he healed my mother-in-law. And so, sure, Jesus, take my boat. Go into my boat and use it however you want to. And then, so Jesus goes out into the sea, starts teaching. After teaching, he says to Simon, let down your net for a catch. Put out into the deep water and let down your net. And you can kind of see, I feel like, I mean, this is my interpretation, I guess, but when I read verse 5, Simon says, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I'll do as you say and let down the nets. I sense a little bit of hesitation. You know, it's like Peter's not fully convinced yet. He's had these encounters, but he's still thinking, what do you know about fishing? You know, it's like a little bit of passive aggressiveness. It's like, you know, we've fished all day, all night we've been fishing and we caught nothing, but fine, you know, because you say that we should do this, I'll do this. And he puts down the net. So I feel like he's still a little bit like hesitant. Maybe he hasn't been fully convinced yet of who he is. Goes out, puts down the net, and then we know the story. He pulls up all this fish, and then Simon. And then I think Simon has this revelation, like, oh my gosh, this really is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is a special person. And he has a revelation of who he is, his own sinfulness, the holiness of Jesus, his own sinfulness. And he says, man, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Falls down at his feet. And then it says in verse 9, all his companions also had the same reaction, including James and John, which were the partners. Right, so now we kind of get a full picture of this call, the story of this, the call of Peter. Okay, and then Jesus says, in verse 10, there is no specific call to follow, but I think we get that from Matthew and Mark. So we can understand that Jesus says, do not fear, from now on you will be catching men. And probably in that time he also made the call, come and follow me, don't be afraid, from now on you will be catching men. And then verse 11, when they brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. So now it kind of makes more sense, right? Peter had all this backstory with Jesus. He had met him first, had received a prophetic word, maybe saw him heal his mother-in-law, and then comes to this place. Maybe he still had doubt when Jesus first says to do this, but after seeing the miraculous catch of the fish, Peter is utterly convinced. And so when Jesus says, come and follow me, you'll be fishing, fishers of men, he has no problem leaving everything and following Jesus. Okay, so that's the story, and I was asking the Holy Spirit, guys, is there anything, what's something that we can reflect on? And it's 7:29, so I really only have a minute, you know, so maybe I'll just talk about one thing. And the one thing that I want to talk about is, I think in verse 11 of chapter 5, we get a picture of what it means to be truly converted to following Jesus. Okay, so in verse 11, it says, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And if you can just imagine, right now at this time, Peter, I'm not sure about Andrew, because Andrew was already following John the Baptist, but Peter, James, and John, they're all fishermen, right? That is their trade, and that is their identity, that is their livelihood, right? And so imagine for them, probably one of the best things that could happen for them is to catch a lot of fish, right? For them, I mean, all day, all night, what they're trying to do is they're trying to catch a lot of fish because that's how they make their living. And when Jesus comes onto the scene, what does Jesus do? Jesus helps them catch a lot of fish. Jesus says, go over there, let down your net, and they do it, and they catch a lot of fish. But then in verse 11, it says, when they came to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. So something happens where they no longer care about the amount of fish that they caught, and they just leave it. It's nothing for them. They say, this doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I think what happens in our, what we see in the church, you know, I mean, for ourselves too, often we come to Jesus, because we want something. You know, a lot of people come to Jesus and, what they want is they want his blessing. You know, they're like, Jesus, they come, they pray to Jesus, Jesus, can you make sure, you know, I'm in this tough spot at my workplace, and I really need some help. And that's how they come to Jesus. They come to Jesus. They come to the Alpha Course. They come to church because they're in trouble. Maybe their family member is sick, or their marriage is breaking apart, or they're praying for a child, or they're praying for a job. They come there because they're in a desperate situation, and they're looking for God to do something. But when God answers their prayers, sometimes they just focus on the answer, and when they get the job that they want, they're like, oh, great. And then they just get focused on the job, and they lose sight of who Jesus is. Or maybe they're praying for, I don't know, maybe they had a terminal illness or something, and they're praying, and then Jesus heals them, and instead of remembering what Jesus did, they just kind of go on with their life. You know, sometimes it happens like that. And sometimes people still come to Jesus in that manner, right? They still, some of us do still, I think we come to Jesus and we just seek for a blessing, you know, like, oh man, can you bring this, make sure that I do well here, make sure I do well here and there. And that's kind of their focus. But what we see here is They are convinced of who Jesus is because Jesus blesses them in their work. But when they become convinced of who Jesus is, their work no longer is important, and they follow. So it's almost like, if I can just imagine it, it's like a cancer patient. Let's say he's diagnosed with cancer, and it's late stage, and everybody says you're going to die. And he comes to Jesus because they're like, oh man, Jesus, I don't want to die. Heal me. They don't really know Jesus, but they, I don't want to die, Lord, heal me. And Jesus miraculously heals that person, and then they have a revelation of who Jesus is. So right after that, right after he's healed, he says, Jesus, I'm going to go to Afghanistan, where there is real possibility of me being killed, but because I know who you are, now my life doesn't matter, and I'm just going to follow you. Right? Before, they were worried about their lives, so they come to Jesus, they pray for healing, but when the healing comes, they get a revelation of Jesus. And true following, true conversion, I think, is this, when they say, man, he gave me back my life. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is my Lord. Now my life doesn't matter, and I'm just going to follow. You know? You're praying for a job, and God gives you a job, but through that, you encounter who Jesus is. And now your job doesn't matter. And so you're able to make a stand for Christ in your workplace. Kind of like Pastor Chris, right? When people said, aren't you going to go drinking? Aren't you afraid that your client may reject you or your boss may reject you if you don't go drinking with them? And Pastor Chris said, you know what? If my job requires me to drink and I get fired because I don't drink, I'm okay with that. Right, man, you're able to have that kind of stance because your job no longer matters. What matters is who Jesus is, and you've been utterly convinced of who he is that you're able to forsake everything. So I just think, man, that's a great picture. Peter, maybe up to this point, all he cared about was fishing, making a lot of money, getting all the fish, as much fish as he can. But when Jesus blesses him with this amazing catch of fish, Peter has a revelation that, oh, Jesus, he's more than just someone that can, he's more than a genie. He's more than just someone that gives me what I want. He's God. And so what that means is I got to follow him, and now my fish don't matter. So just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I don't know how that will speak to you personally, or maybe you can think of someone in your life that you're praying for, or maybe in your life you still consider, maybe you still come to God and you kind of see him as this blessing bag. And we kind of see him like Maybe you still come to him for his blessings, you know? You're still crying out to him just for what he can do for you. But and he will answer you because he is a good God. But as he does, and you realize who he is, shouldn't we then say, well, if you're God, actually, these things don't matter that much. I can lay everything down and forsake it all because I know who you are. So let's have this time of worship, and let's just go before him, and let's just spend some time with him. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Yes, God, thank you, Lord, that this would be the confession of our heart. I give you my heart, I give you my soul, because of who you are, not because of what you can do for me, but because of who you are, because you are God, because you are the Messiah, that we would be willing to leave everything behind and follow you. That I pray that if we still look to you to be our blessing bag, you know, our vending machine, a genie type of a God that just makes our lives better or more successful, God, I pray that you would show us that and help us to encounter you in a deeper, greater way, God, as Peter did. I pray that you open our eyes, open our hearts to encounter you in this way, so that we can truly be converted to following you. So have mercy on us, have mercy on our church, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's go into a time of corporate prayer. Let's pray for our community who is going through cancer or radiation chemotherapy. If you could pray, please, for Calvin, especially because they're actually in Germany and they're going through a very unique treatment there. And it's been tough for him, but their stay in Germany has been pretty good, so praise God for that. And let's pray for a very successful, effective treatment for him. So let's pray for Calvin, but also everybody else that is on this list. Let's pray. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those of us that are going through different illnesses, but they also need to be saved. So let's pray for them to have a revelation of who God is and who Jesus is. Let's also pray for healing for them, that this would also be, the healing would be a sign for them of who God is, and that they'll be able to give their life to Christ through the healing. So let's pray for healing and for salvation for our friends here. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members and family members are going through. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for strength for our friends. Let's pray for Dan Park, who is looking for a job in the U.S. so that he can move, be closer to his dad. So let's pray for him. Let's pray for favor. Let's pray for leading of the Holy Spirit for Dan. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just lift up our government. Let's pray against the wealth gap here. Let's pray for the churches, for all the different ministries. Let's pray for revival to break forth. Let's pray for the young people, Hong Kong students. Let's pray for the domestic helpers in our city and also for distressed families. Let's pray for God's grace and mercy and covering protection, especially for the oppressed or the downtrodden in our society. And let's pray for our government to do a great job. And let's pray for all these ministries. Let's pray for the staff. Yeah, just let's cover everyone. Pastor Sam is in Singapore this week. I think he's attending a conference. Let's pray for a good trip for him. And some people are away, and some people, yeah, it's the Christmas season. So let's just pray for just a good heart to be able to work hard and work well, that the staff would be able to finish out the year strong. Let's pray for unity amongst the staff, and let's pray for especially let's cover Pastor Sam as our lead pastor, as our senior pastor. Let's just pray for God's covering and protection over him and his family, that he would fall deeper in love with Jesus every day. So let's pray for all the staff, but if you could especially cover Pastor Sam, please. Let's pray. Next point. Let's pray for our hospitality teams, welcoming and barista. Let's just pray for so much love to come forth from these ministries, and people would feel so welcomed and have a sense of belonging through this. Let's pray for our ministries, hospitality ministries. Thank you. Let's pray for our worship team, sound and AV team. Pray for a really great heart of worship and really great worship to come forth from our ministries, from these teams. Let's pray together. Lastly, let's pray for House Church. This is the last week of House Church, so let's pray for a very good last meeting, and let's pray for just a good wrap up and very encouraging time for our House Churches. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for your word, the story of Peter, God, and your faithfulness in his life, God, and calling him out, God, and giving him a ministry. And thank you for this picture of this true conversion. Lord, I pray that we would also have that, God, truly converted to following you as our Lord. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, we give this day to you. I bless each person here that your presence would go with them in all that they do today. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.